Hello again. Now, a daily occurrence in any GP surgery throughout the land is the person who arrives wanting something for their low back pain or pain. It's a huge issue worldwide, and for many people who experience backache, it's often their personal introduction into the world of chronic pain. Pain is, of course, known to everybody as a symptom, warning sign, signal, end result of some form of trauma or damage or injury. But it's now increasingly understood to be much more complex than this. Pain can be almost plastic in its behaviour. So here we have backache, perhaps the results of too many years in the garden. It's aching, but it's sometimes, well, manageable. Other days it's awful for no obvious reason. Nothing has changed in what you do. That's a clear example in some ways of how pain can be a poor indicator of actual damage, but remains often the major complaint and the thing that people want sorting out. Of course they do. The modern view of all this tends to divide pain into three groups, depending on length of time and types, depending on source of origin. Acute pain is just that. Sudden arrival of, say, toothache is a good example. Persistent pain, well, it's hanging around a bit, several weeks or longer. Varying from time to time, then chronic pain. A pain pattern that is seemingly permanent. The last characteristic is what modern medicine may find a bit challenging. It's permanent. Put simply, if you think that pills are going to heal chronic pain, then this is going to end in disappointment. They won't. Chronic pain is such a hugely interesting topic, though, as the pain is just a bit of the process, weirdly enough. The road to relief, we now think, lies in using a so-called biopsychosocial model as a way forward. All fronts are attacked, pills just being a part of the process. Years ago, and I mean literally years ago, I think it was Dr. David Bowsher, who with others developed one of the first pain management clinics in the UK, in Liverpool of all places. I think he was a neurologist. Here, carefully selected patients would learn how to manage their pain. No cure was ever suggested, but the changes to the overall functioning of successful sort of course graduates, if we may use that term in its loosest sense, could be seen and believed. It was quite astounding. There was a new way of dealing with it rather than just peddling pills, if one used that horrible term. The template, the blueprint for pain management, has flowed from these types of interventions and establishments. As the saying goes, if the only tool you have is a hammer, then every problem has got to be a nail. Our emerging opiate crisis, which we now just seem to grapple with, much like the Valium or benzodiazepine addiction issues involving prescribed and not underhand or illicit or illegal medications back in the 70s and 80s, the opiate issue feels familiar in social style and behaviour as it did then. No longer do we or should we just issue routine tranquilizers without careful thought and planning for the potential for dependency, looking further than the acute initial incident. Similarities here include the very effectiveness of the initial prescription, say for diazepam or Valium, and for pain, say strong painkillers, codeine, tramadol, or even morphine. So far, so good. Fine. But that's just the start. We now know that percentage of patients will request or need more courses of this stuff. The problem hasn't actually gone away, much like toothache, it's just nagged on. Continuing the therapies is fine, of course, but slowly over the weeks and months, the medication becomes less effective. Indeed, if you don't take it, the problem worsens quickly, hence more therapy, more medication is necessary. Most are eventually fine or okay as the problem itself lessens in severity and normal life returns. For some, though, it doesn't. Sometimes this leads into prescription medication addiction. It really is an addiction, for want of a better word or term. All this will be coursing through your doctors or nurses or specialist minds as they assess your backache, for instance. And nowadays, it's well known that we just get you going again as soon as possible. No more lying in bed, resting, no more traction devices, no more plaster jackets, corsets or the like. So here's the message. Nothing seems to be static for long. Yesterday's perceived solid facts and truths and knowledge have been frequently overturned, indeed flipped on its head sometimes. The management or low back pain being one of these. One of the many conditions wherein outcomes have improved significantly with the advent of some new thought processes and techniques. So if your doctor says to you, well, your back's awful, but keep going. Your back's in agony. It's in agony, doc. Keep moving. More is less. Not less is more. More movement equals less pain. Rest often producing more pain. That's weird, but it's true. It seems anti-instinctive, but weirdly, it's actually proven statistically and medically in all kinds of worldwide studies to be the case. Just another day in the surgery then. And that was just the first patient. Woo! Till next week. Cheerio.